You may be seated. And dear fellow redeemed, even though it was some 20 years before Severus remembered that night like it was last night, it was a night which completely changed his life, his family, even his hope of eternity. He was asleep when the earthquake hit, threw him out of his bed to the floor. At first he thought that this was the end of the world, at least the end of his life. Dread and terror overwhelmed him. What was going to happen now? He and his family were too poor to pay the ferryman to take him across the River Styx. And even if he had those two required coins, he was only 8 years old. He hadn't done anything to make himself worthy to dwell eternally on the plain of Asphodel. That place was reserved for people who had proven themselves in this life. Again, he was only 8. He hadn't done anything. And clearly, Neptune, the god of the sea and earthquakes, was angry about something. So as soon as the shaking stopped and he picked himself up, he ran out into the family's living area, and Severus lit a little lamp, a little candle that sat in front of the family statue of Neptune, and he promised tomorrow when daylight came, he would do whatever he could do, whatever offering he could make. But at the moment, there were more immediate fears to deal with. The earthquake had made an absolute mess of the home. There were broken dishes and cookware everywhere. His mom and his older sister were already down on their knees cleaning up, because if Dad saw this, he would be angry and he would beat them. Dad was a hard man, given to anger and alcohol, really not that unusual for this time and place. His mother and his sister were expected to serve him without hesitation, and Severus was expected to mimic his father's example. That's why Dad named him Severus. It's Latin for stern. Dad hoped that in this son, he would live up to his namesake. He would earn his way onto the plain of Asphodel. Maybe even he would serve with valor in the military and win a place for himself and perhaps a family in the fields of Elysium. Well, thankfully, Dad wasn't home that night. He was at work. And so even though Severus would be judged as showing weakness, he dropped to his knees and began to help his mother and his older sister clean as quickly as they could. And that's when Dad burst through the door. Severus, his mother, his sister, froze in fear. In spite of himself, he began to weep. They were sure to be beaten. His mother and his sister for the mess, he for helping with women's work. Only his baby sister would escape Dad's wrath. But instead of anger and rage trailing in his wake, there were two bedraggled men. Dad worked at the town prison, and the men that were with him were inmates. Never in all their lives had Dad brought prisoners home. And he either didn't notice the mess or he didn't care. Instead, oddly, with tears in his eyes, he called all of them together at the dinner table, asked Mom to help him clean and bandage these two men, their wounds. He fed them their own food while he was talking a mile a minute. The guests were in Dad's custody because the day before they'd driven an evil spirit out of one of the local girls in town. Demon possession like this for fortune telling or something else wasn't really uncommon. But a mob gathered and beat those two men for that act of kindness and mercy. The men were arrested and they were placed in prison in the stocks. And that's where Dad met them. All through that afternoon, that evening, these men were cheerful. They prayed. They sang hymns of praise to their God. And that sort of got Dad into a theological argument with them. He pointed out, reasoning, that if these things had just happened to these men, they had either angered their God or they were worshiping the wrong God. The men countered by telling him of a God who became human and who suffered and who died at the hands of his own people. They quoted to him from a 700-year-old prophet saying, "He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." And as he went on, and just at the moment they were telling Dad about how this man rose again from the dead, well, that's when the earthquake hit the prison. All the cell doors sprung open, so violent that even the shackles came off all of the inmates. Picking himself up, Dad assumed that everyone had escaped. His own life was forfeit. He thought it would be better to end it quickly instead of facing the humiliation of having failed at his job. Perhaps the afterlife would see his suicide as bravery. So Dad actually had the sword pressed up against his belly when one of these two men stopped him. All the prisoners were present and accounted for. And that brush with life and the afterlife, that broke Dad right then and there. He asked what he had to do, what he needed to do to be saved from all of this. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved," they told him. Which brings him back to the house, all of them, even the baby sister. They were all baptized right there that night. Of course, this sparked more theological, not arguments, but questions. Mom and Dad and his sister and Severus, clearly they had not done anything to deserve or earn any of this, but the baby sister couldn't do anything. What a night that was. It was as if pure grace, 200 proof grace, flowed all around the mess of that kitchen, washing them, enlivening them. And when morning came, everything had changed. At least everything had begun to change. Dad was different. Dad checked his temper, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Dad genuinely was a different person after that night, and he was teaching, he was training, retraining himself to be different. Now, I don't want you to think this is some sort of fairy tale. There were long-held habits to be broken. There was a sinful nature to constantly struggle against, and not just for Dad, but for all of them. The Roman culture in which they lived was godless and immoral. It surrounded them every day. It did not make this easy. But the change had begun the night of that blessed, violent earthquake. Severus no longer lived in fear of Neptune or Jupiter or any of those other gods. Severus knew and believed in the one who had created the planets, the one who had given his son to die and to rise again. And as he grew, he watched his mother and father genuinely fall in love with each other. Love which grew to be patient and kind, keep no record of wrongs. And as Severus got older and Dad talked to him about women and marriage and sex, it wasn't in the crude, filthy way that he used to talk. Dad spoke of marriage as loving one woman in the way that Jesus had loved us all, giving, using the strength that he'd been given to serve instead of being served. Well, dear fellow redeemed, you might accuse me of standing up here this morning and spinning my own fairy tale. Listen to the account, Acts chapter 16. "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." The Acts 16 account tells us that this jailer at Philippi was baptized along with his entire household. It tells us that as Paul and Silas spoke the word of God to them, the entire household believed in God. Well, what does that mean? Well, St. Paul, who was there that night, when he wrote to the Colossians and to the Romans, he wrote that baptism buries a person with Christ. Our sins there in the grave with him, and new lives, even new family lives, rising from that grave, just as Christ rose. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said that in baptism we are dressed, we are robed, we are clothed in Christ, dressed in his righteousness and his purity, looking like, living like him. Don't assume this happened overnight. With them, as with all of you, there are habits to be broken and retrained. There is the anti-Christian culture all around us, and there is the sinful nature still alive within us. But just as this family could trace their change back to the night of that blessed earthquake, you can trace who you are back to your own baptism, who you are in God's eyes. That which is born of water and the Spirit is spirit. And the fruit of that same Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. By faith in Jesus Christ, who died and who has risen, by water and the Spirit, through his word of grace, the story of that family at Philippi, roused out of bed one night by an earthquake, that's your story as well. The Lord Jesus bless all of you and the lives that he has given to you. Let's rise, join our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are your children, purchased by the blood of Christ, buried with him by baptism, born of water and the Spirit. Guard, keep, direct, be with us today as we live the lives that you have given to us. Bless our families, bless our parents and siblings. Bring us all home to you in heaven. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing hymn 180.
Now then, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.